undisclosed location in a basement somewhere in New York City. It's the Shredhead Podcast with your host, Oroku Saki, a.k.a. The Shredder.
All right, everyone. We're back. Well, we're here for the first time, so let me say for the first time, welcome to my parlor, said the spider to the fly. That's right, it's episode 1 of the Shredhead Pod, and we're finally here. I just want to say thank you for all the feedback that we got from the first episode, the pilot episode, that they aired on It's Like a Podcast or whatever. That was pretty dope of them. Honestly, I think they were just running out of content, and they just let us come through and lay it down on the track for a minute. I was, you know, and maybe a little of column A and column B, being that I'm just fucking around. Anyway. Yeah, man, we're here. Whoa, finally. You know, it's that first podcast, really. It's like, it's here now, and you may notice when you ever listen to someone's first pod, they're jittery and they're nervous and they don't know how to fill the air. Even the great Petey Green had issues the first time he went on the air. If you've ever seen Talk to Me, the film, starring one Don Cheadle. I'll start off with my recommendation with that. Ooh, shit. Hitting the... Damn, man. Yo, Oroku, chill. You got this. You got this. You're fucking up. You're being an ignoramus. Sorry. Sorry you had to be there for that. I was looking in the mirror and trying to pump myself up with a little abuse of myself. Wow. Says a lot. I really wanted to start off today, well, really go start off the pod as a whole, in general, with my own kind of, how do you say, journey to this point in my life, because I don't think it's a mystery to anyone that I have a reputation of being irreputable. I have a checkered past, to say the least. I've spent some time doing bad things for what I thought maybe were good reasons, or at least I tried to talk myself into thinking that. And I'm here today to tell you that day by day, I'm just taking it one day at a time, trying to change, you know? Jesus. I did a lot of things out there in the streets, whether they were in Japan, or whether they were, you know, we were labeled the Yakuza. The Foot Clan, I should say. Listen, full disclosure and spoiler alerts for anyone who isn't up on the life of what you saw of Shredder. man, this is going to be an emotional episode. If you came here for the jokes, if you came here to hear me riff about the Knicks, it's not going to be a lot of that today, you know? I am a broken man, and I've been doing all that I can to mend myself. And the Shredhead Pod won't just be... sorry, I haven't even shouted out my man, Krang! Krang, My bad, Krang. Nigga got right to the shits, didn't I? My bad, Krang. That's my man, my engineer, keeping me sounding loud and clear all the time. Shout out to my man, Krang. Damn, dog, my bad. I just got into it, into the me-me-me's, you know. And in therapy, we discussed that, like, why everything is so much about me, the Shredder. Obviously, this podcast is the Shredhead Pod. You're going to get a lot of me saying me, a lot of me starting with I statements and things like that. And that's another thing that they teach you in therapy, is to use your I statements. I felt, I think, you know, and a lot of times people will say, and here I go saying people will say people when they mean I. I think that was a pretty safe one, but I would like to kind of speak on my own past with a little history of the Shredder. Now, I know that it's been widespread that, you know, I have my past is intertwined with that of, say, Hamato Yoshi, his rat, or whether or not his rat is Hamato Yoshi. There's a lot of hearsay and innuendo out there that has just been passed on. And I would just, you know, you don't really get to hear my side of things, and that's fine. I don't expect a lot of sympathy for the devil, so to speak. I've done terrible things. Like I said, I own them. And part of this, part of my reasoning to start this pod, A, to stay out of trouble, I've done some time, okay? I've paid what society says has been my debt to society. But this is self-imposed. This is me making my apology tour to you, anyone who may have been affected. That old lady whose TV we stole that one time on the fire escape, or whether you're the police chief, or whether you're Tang Shen, you know. Tang Shen, actually, while it's widely believed that I, Oroku Saki, had the beef, or had, you know, a rivalry with Hamato Yoshi over the love of one Tang Shin, it was actually my brother Oroku Nagi, who was going back and forth with Yoshi over the love of Tang Shin, and in which case Hamato Yoshi took my brother's life, okay? There are some places that do support that story, or they support my side of it. And, you know, my older brother, you know, he was the world to me, you know? You know, that was my dog. And, you know, regardless of whatever was going on, I'm not sure, man. I wasn't there. All I know is that two men went in, one man came out, and the other man who did not just happened to be Oroku Nagi. And so I joined the Foot Clan to become a ninja. Became one of I was, easily one of the quickest, the rising stars, so to speak, one of the deadliest warriors. And when you're a ninja, you know, and let's also, I want to educate while we're here. Ninja aren't necessarily supposed to be known for their fighting. Like, ninjutsu is the art of invisibility. So I was good at that. Nobody, you know, the thing about a good ninja is you're not supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to know a good ninja if they hit you, you know, if you got hit by one, because it's supposed to be too late. If you see a ninja, well, you consider yourself lucky to have seen it coming, even if it's for a second. I was talented. I was really good at a bad thing, and I ended up taking over the American branch of the Foot Clan. And some people will take issue with the way I utilized the Foot Clan, in which case, you weren't there, you know, you just weren't. They called me a drug smuggler. They said I was running arms and, you know, assassination. But, man, this is crazy, man. Like, this is all stuff that I've done time for, and now, you know, with no, well, can't even be tried for those things, because so much happened that no one will ever really know. Maybe not even me. But this is heavy, y'all. I'm sorry. With my arrival, and you're very, you know, you're up to speed on all of the things with the Ninja Turtles, you know, of course, famously, the war with the Turtles, the war of New York, the war that tore New York apart, you know, that went a few ways, you know, and it really never really turned out the way, at that time, I would have wanted it to. You know, I wanted to, of course, be triumphant over my turtles. I wanted to dine on turtle soup, you know. I wanted to kill those blasted turtles, you know. And, it didn't play out like that. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways, man. Because what you think you want and what you really need are very seldom the same thing, you know? And, just thinking back now and how aggressive I was and, how, ambitious I was, that I look at things right now. I look at these young guys out here who go and they think they're going to rule the world. Or I look at these old guys who think that they're going to live long enough to continue to rule the world, and they don't think that they're going anywhere anytime soon. I'm looking at you, politicians. I'm looking right at Capitol Hill, you know? And these are guys who fail to realize that there's a much, much bigger picture. I'm not here to convert anyone. I'm not here to tell you about my God, faithfulness, but I'll just say this, that God is good all the time, and God, and all the time, God is good, and that's very much an understatement. Where was I with my story? I ran into those turtles, and they gave me fits, and, you know, I met my man Krang. Krang, what up? Huh? Oh, okay, we need to take a break. I'm just rolling, baby. You can just cut it. All right, now we'll take a break from our sponsor, Watts Club Mozambique. Your freaky auntie out there tricking off her dough. Watts Club, Mozambique.
Ladies, are you ready for the best in adult male entertainment? Then come to the Showdown in Motown All Male Review at Watts Club, Mozambique. All the players will be there. Scorpion, Damon, The Mustangs, K King Caesar, Viper, Cobra, Final Assault, Magnum. It's the showdown in Motown at Watts Club, Mozambique, on Finkel Avenue, Watts Club, Mozambique.
All right, you mutant miscreants, we are back. And, yeah, things were getting a little heavy back there. Man had to take a breather. All right. Where were we? Yes, we were talking about, just basically, I was just biting off a little more than I could chew, actually, and, once you've bitten it, you know, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with it, you know? You have to chew, you have to swallow, and, you know, but then you decide to spit it out. Okay, didn't, mean for it to go there. I don't like to say pause, but in this situation, I will. However, if you say pause around me, I will kill you. I mean, not kill. I don't want to say kill. What do we used to say on the cartoon? I will send you into oblivion. Something like that, yeah. I just think that the whole pause, no homo thing. God, I can't believe I said those words. I hate those words. I just think that whole institution is just a little weird and funky and, you know, nobody thinks you're gay, you know, unless you say something that's really egregious. You know, anyway, don't use it around me, even though I just said it. I feel like what I said was a little more over, you know, okay. Anyway, I'm doing way too much explaining. I'm all the way off topic. Yeah, man, like, the ruling of the world, right? Like, it's such a preposterous aspiration to have when you really break down. Like, how would you even manage that, you know? Like, you're making it so that you have to enslave everyone, right? Like, I have no experience governing any, crowd of people, right? Besides, like, the kids who work in the warehouse, for the Foot Clan, you know, other than them, I mean, mostly I've got robots doing the fighting. I have kids who steal, and skateboard and smoke cigarettes all day. Really, what I had aspirations and no plan, really. Once the turtles, you know, let's say the turtles were out of my way, then what, you know? How do I keep the entire world in check, right? I've got a few dope pistols. I've got a huge technodrome, you know, cool. But really, you know, just the sheer logistics of trying to keep everyone busy, keep everyone distracted enough, keep everyone, you know, not forming allegiances, because there were still, you know, people still had fighter jets and that sort of thing. And I was having trouble with four turtles and a rat, you know. I had to kind of temper my expectations and then really just say, well, you know, maybe I'll rule New York, you know. And even that is a lot. Thinking of how ill-equipped I was to do something like that, just really makes me thankful for those Ninja Turtles, you know? Those accursed turtles, they turned out to be
Those blasted turtles. You know, I should have said blasted turtles, because I always said blasted turtles too. You know. I always said that, but they turned out to be those blessed turtles. Quite honestly, I think, like, the only person worthy of, like, well, there are a few, but really, if, like, Rihanna threw on a costume and took to the world and said that she was going to rule it, I think she could pull it off. I think Riri, okay, the person who made Man Down, which is the most fire song that in her catalog, I believe. You can disagree, that's fine. You'd be wrong, but Man Down is a very hard song to top. But, yeah, man, I think Riri could do it. And we wouldn't even know. We'd just be, you know, if you want a job done right, you give it to a black woman. You know? We'd be better off. Anyway, yeah, man, but back to me. Back to what's important here. My story. What you came here for. Really, you know, I was just slamming my head against the wall trying to be this ruler that I was not. And, my work got sloppy. Was taking L after L to those blasted turtles. Bebop and Rocksteady were just kind of lounging about and, you know, looking back, they really took this as seriously or not nearly as seriously as they really should have. Like, if looking back, 2020 vision being, you know, hindsight being 2020 vision, they had the precise attitude one should have when a crazy motherfucker comes to you and says, "Hey, I want y'all to go beat up the Ninja Turtles. I want to turn you into a pig and you into a rhino. And I want y'all to beat up four turtles for me." And neither of them being very smart. I could have gotten like two smart motherfuckers, you know, and then made them like it didn't matter whether or not they were like the animals themselves, a boar and a rhino. Why am I having such a hard time remembering a rhino? A warthog and a rhino are strong enough to where I could have crossed them with two like MIT students who could have figured out that, you know, some technology. And then in the event it came to throwing blows, they'd be good against those blasted turtles, right? This is all stuff you think about 20, 30, damn near 40 years later. When you've had time to think. And I got that time to think in prison. I got into a very dark place. Mentally, and the reason I, you know, in therapy, we kind of uncovered the reason I wore the mask. You know, at first it felt like a helmet, but then I covered my face and my mouth and my nose, and soon all one could see was my eyes, you know, and I made it out of this chrome sort of reflective kind of metal. You know, I could have used anything. I could have used gunmetal or something that wasn't as shiny. I mean, I'm pretty sure it would have been much better and easier, pardon, as a ninja to conceal my appearance, sneak around without a big shiny chrome helmet, right? Of course, moonlight doesn't reflect off of gunmetal like that. Or even like a darker bit, I could have, you know, I could have spray painted the helmet black or navy blue or something like that, but there was a reason, and it got to the point where I never took off the helmet or the mask. I never, when I would look in the mirror, I would have this internal conflict where I would look in the mirror and I just knew, I knew I wasn't happy with myself. I knew that when I looked into the mirror, my eyes were going to say to me, like, you're a fraud or you're inadequate. And so I wore this reflective helmet to deflect those feelings back and say, no, it was me having this battle with myself, not having this battle with myself. And finally, the more that I would cover, the closer I came to only being able to see my eyes. It was the only thing that didn't have a reflection on it. And one day I looked into those eyes of mine and I realized I didn't know who I was anymore. I took off the helmet, I took off the mask, and I, for the first time in my life, had some clarity, and I resolved to turn myself in for the evils, the evil things I had done and the evil things that I would do if I were left to continue to be out here with these weapons and this, the worst weapon I would have is my own insecurities, I didn't want to become one of those people who hurt other people because I couldn't deal with myself. So, there are people in my culture who would say, once you get to that point, you could go ahead and, suicide in the Japanese community. Come on, you've seen it. You've seen you've seen the South Park episode, they're making light of a very real situation. You look at the people and the reasons that they're taking their own lives and, Japanese, things aren't working out at work. I didn't have any companionship romantically to really speak of. My own, my regular friendships, I was abusive to Krang. I was abusive to Bebop and Rocksteady. I never had a positive word for any of them. And it was all because I was taking it out. I was taking out the way I felt about myself on my friends. The very few people who would surround me, lovingly. Who saw my vision and wanted it to happen and just didn't have the capacity to carry it out because, again, it was far too lofty a goal. Like I said earlier, just biting off more than I could chew and then asking them to help me chew it. And, I was asking them to see a vision that even I didn't need to have, So I turned myself in. I got considerably less time than what I believed I would. And even there, it was a struggle. It's prison. It wasn't Disney World. So I had things that I had to deal with in there that I won't speak on. I'll tell you this, as far as those, that thing that prison is most famous or infamous for, your boy didn't have to worry about that. I was, for all intents and purposes, running that jail. I was in Rikers, just to clarify, I was at Rikers Island. I didn't have much problem there, tell you the truth. I spent a lot of time getting the therapy that I needed. I spent a lot of time resting, honestly. The food was disgusting, obviously. You know, and there was those people that I mentioned earlier, the Bebop, the Rocksteady, the Krangs. They had offered to break me out, you know, and I said, no, I need to sit. I need to think. I need to, you know, I got back into my meditation. Like I mentioned earlier, I got the therapy that I needed. I was just really focused on rehabilitation, or hell, for me, habilitation. I had been messed up for so long that I didn't remember a time when I wasn't messed up, you know? So, there was a time where I lost my memory, you know, before I went in. I lost my memory, and I was still evil, you know? You can look that one up. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube somewhere. There's footage of me being evil even after losing my memory. Like, I was immediately evil. I'm a wild boy. What do you want from me, you know? But yeah, man. You know, and I had suicidal thoughts for a while. But long story short, you don't give yourself a chance to come back. Hell, I've been killed before, and really, I could tell you a thing or two about coming back. I could tell you a thing or two about coming back from the dead, but really, it's not the time. I've already run long, and I need to get into my last couple of, my last couple of segments here. You know, the pod is brand new. It's the first episode, so I wanted to try to kick around some ideas for, segments. And so here we are, first segment being Clout Cretins. That's people who, you know, over the week, it's like a donkey of the day or whatever. No shout out to Charlemagne the God. I don't like him. But, basically, it's, you know, the cretins on the internet, who do things for clout. So, Clout Cretins. You know, that's one of those things I said all the time. Remember, I used to call people cretin. Well, yes, these cretins, that I'm going to talk about today real briefly are dudes who, for some reason, think women are wearing makeup to attract them. And then, the dudes who, the same guys who think that women, look better naturally, they say, I like women who don't wear makeup, all the while not understanding that women, the vast majority of the time, even if they don't look like they are wearing makeup. Dog. That's a lot. But if you know, you know. Right? Guys, you have no idea what women are doing when they are doing it. You know? It's amazing how people will just blurt out things, having no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what foundation does. They have no idea the structure of one's face and how the contouring works. Listen, just because she's not wearing lipstick doesn't mean she's not wearing makeup. You don't know what you're talking about, and it shows. Okay, so when you think that's the first thing that you learn about makeup, okay? And I don't wear makeup, all right? I just listen. I just know that I don't know everything. And, you know, I know that the first thing they tell young girls who are wearing makeup is to make it look like you're not wearing makeup, right? Right. And then when they get the glad rags on and they go somewhere really, really nice, that's where you get the whole quote-unquote face beat thing going. So, you Cretans could stand to learn a thing or two before you start talking about a thing or two. But that's how that works. Women, when they take pictures and they put it on the internet, more than likely they have some sort of makeup on, okay? Even when they say that they woke up like this, or they woke up, or not even woke up, where they're taking their gym pictures, swim pictures, they are somehow, some way, at some point, probably wearing makeup, and it's fine because it's what they want to do, okay? Everything in this world is not for you. And finally, everyone take a breath. Recommendations. Yes, recommendations. I want you all to edify yourselves and feed your souls with the incomparable LeVar Burton. Yes, Reading Rainbow, Roots, Star Trek The Next Generation, the god LeVar Burton has a podcast. It's probably in third or fourth, maybe even fifth season, LeVar Burton Reads. It's incredible. You may notice I've been doing the thing where I breathe in. Hold it. Hold it. Breathe out. I got that from the LeVar Burton Reads podcast before he reads to you like he did when you were a child, listening to him on Reading Rainbow. He breathes in very deeply, and he takes a cleansing breath out, and then he proceeds to read a short story, and it's incredible every single time. My personal favorite is Paper Menagerie by Ken Liu. I would give you details about the story, but I want you to just go in and experience it for yourself, because it is transcending. You will cry. You will weep. And it will be fine. It's a very, 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 very good short story. Again, that's Paper Menagerie by Ken Liu. A very smart, very brilliant writer. I've seen him live at the LeVar Burton Reads live event. For the first time I had ever heard LeVar Burton swear, it was amazing. But yes, LeVar Burton Reads, and in particular, Paper Menagerie. It's a good way to take a break from life for a second, even if you have to do adulting or living right there in the moment. LeVar Burton Reads is very, very, very good. Like I said, I can't put enough varies on it. It's Scrumtrescent. Yes, that word is fitting. Anyway, I'm out of here. I'll see you next week, or maybe even sooner. I have no idea what my podcast scheduling will be, the release schedule. I'll have to get with Krang. This is so brand new. I'm looking very forward to taking this podcast journey with you all, having some guests on. I already have a few lined up. It's going to be crazy. At least me. You know, you're... you out there, you've experienced everything. You've seen everything but the Lord himself, and I have. It was wild. Anyway, I'm gonna let you go, fam. Until then, Ninja Vanish.